The UK 2024 general elections not only brought a change of government, but a huge change in MPs. Steve Darling was elected to the House of Commons, and he has taken his seat along with guide dog Jenny. Steve, first of all, congratulations. And I suppose for many MPs who are coming into the Commons for the first time, there's so many things to go through, not just finding your way around the place as well. Is that a bit overwhelming, or managing to cope with all that?
It's just trying to keep it simple, remembering where the estate is, but also it's a bit like, so as an MP, you get a pass, you've got this magic card that gets you through the back doors and through to protected areas within the Palace of Westminster. And it's just having that memory, because I've got the joys of macular degeneration and Stargardt's disease. So I've got some useful vision left, but particularly if you come out of the bright sunshine, you know, so it's memorising where the swipe card error is, where the release button is for when you're going through the cloakroom. Jenny's very good, my guide dog. If I say, find the cloakroom, we'll be there. She's often trying to take me into the chamber at the House of Commons when I don't really want to go there. So we're starting to get the commands of find the chamber or find Westminster Hall, so she'll know whether we're wanting to veer off to the right or carry on. Jenny's being helpful, although she does often make hints of, you often go to the tea rooms. Are you sure that you don't want to go to the cafe?
That sounds very much like a guide dog, to be honest, Steve. I'm sure a lot of people will empathise with you there, especially if it's a cafe. Yeah, I suppose remembering routes, mind mapping, all that kind of thing. If you have, like myself, sight loss, you go to somewhere new or you're doing something new, it's all about the extra stuff you have to remember and take care of.
Yeah, it is. And then equally the tech, I was slightly behind with getting my tech up to speed, because probably a week before the general election, the Lib Dems whip office got in touch and said, we think you've got a really good chance of winning Torbay, even though it's an 18,000 majority. So what special requirements as a visually impaired MP do you have? So I was able to say fusion is something that'd be really good if the IT section could have a look at. And somehow, I don't know how, but it appears that it fell between two stools of, please check out Fusion, because when I arrived on the Monday, it was news to them about Fusion. But it's taken them a little while to get set up, but they have the staff bent over backwards in the IT section, and now I do have Fusion up and running. I'm still getting used to the layout of different IT offers that there are there. Fortunately, I've been really lucky that I've got a good support worker with me who's come up to Westminster. Without her, it would have been a massive, massive more challenge.
Are you used to using kind of assistive tech like that, or are you more of a Braille person?
I tend to be a much more assistive technology person, and the WHIP's office for the Lib Dems was really helpful, because they facilitated within the first week a meeting with David Blunkett. So that half an hour conversation in the Lords was really helpful. He showed me his understanding of tech was a cassette that he tended to use. So I think he's probably a few steps behind some of us who would be using assistive technology. But also there was the useful conversation with him about when you're in the chamber, because there's a clock that counts down if you're doing a certain speech. Well, clearly you can't do that, so you've got to have a word with a colleague and say, do you mind tapping me on the shoulder when we get to a minute out of me running out of time for the speech? Also, he gave me a few hints about quite often the people will intervene when you're making a speech, alerting you to that. But it's also like, for instance, when you go into the chamber, being somebody who's registered blind, have great difficulty recognising people. I've said to all my colleagues, just say, hi, Tom from Knaresborough, or whatever constituency they are. Because apart from a few obvious people, like our chief whip is tall lady, long black hair, because joys of macular degeneration, no, very limited facial recognition, but can see body shape and things like that. So people have been very, very good. And also the door staff here are just incredibly good. So it's like I had to go to the education centre and you just get in the general direction and then find somebody who's wearing coattails and say, can you tell me which way to go to wherever? And they will see you there, and they are incredibly helpful, all the staff at the Commons, without a doubt.
And that's before you get to policies and debates and so on. So a lot to get through there. Jenny sounds if she's settling in as well.
Jenny is, I would say that she probably has more green space time with being in London than actually back in Torquay, because we're often walking around a lot more than jumping in and out of taxis back at home. So Jenny is getting out and about. I helped the Federation for the Blind hand in a petition about floating bus stops. And it was quite interesting how one of the dogs there called Nelly was really excited going into the street where number 10 was, because it had seen Larry the cat before. And so it felt as if there was kind of like a bit of a guide dog takeover, but Larry the cat wouldn't come out and see them. So they clearly faced him down.
As an MP, is that always the pinnacle? Have you always been interested in politics?
I've been a councillor on Torbay for just over 30 years, both as a district council for a couple of years and then as a unitary authority. I've been leader of Torbay Unitary Authority for 4 years, and I've been a peer mentor and supported people with disabilities with that. I've also been a peer mentor through the local government association, gone out and supported other councils about improvement programmes. But most excitingly for me, when I was leader, children's services, that is something really close to my heart because I'm adopted myself, went from failing to good within 2 years, which is almost unheard of. Usually you go from failing to requires improvement to good. So I think becoming the MP is not something I've spent my life thirsting after. What I've spent my life thirsting after is making sure that Torbay has the right political representation that I would like to see. And for me, clearly, that is a Liberal Democrat. And so I was much relieved on election night when the team that had worked so hard didn't have to go through that pain of recounts.
It sounds like whether it's campaigning or politics is something that's kind of been in the blood, if you like, from maybe an early age. Is that a fair thing to say?
When I was probably about 18, 19, I thought to myself, what is the point of life, the universe and everything? And it sadly, it isn't 42. It's actually how can you make a difference in life, and whether it's getting involved in politics by working for somebody in political power, such as an MP, or getting elected as a councillor. It's being able to help people is what it should be all about, and trying to leave the world a better place than you found it. And equally, it can be a bit of a family affair. My wife is a guide dog owner as well. But one stage, I was leader of the local authority a couple of years ago, and she was the civic mayor of the local authority. So I suspect we were the only council in the country that had two guide dog owners as both political head and civic head of the local authority. Probably about a year ago, my eldest son, who's 29 and a junior doctor, he got elected to Torbay Unitary Authority, and the seat he won was actually the former MP's wife's seat. And then my youngest son, who's 21, he wrote a lot of the literature during the general election campaign and has been heavily involved in that. So it is very much a family affair.
Sounds absolutely. You've always been involved in local politics and looking to make a difference in the community as well. You're obviously still going to do that as the elected MP for the area as well. But I suppose you get a chance now to influence or be involved in national policy, different cross-party groups as well. Are there particular, you mentioned some areas there, but are there particular areas you're looking forward to getting involved in more now?
There were three key areas that the Lib Dems particularly championed, which were chimed very closely with our world in Torbay. So sewage in our seas and waters is one of those, cost of living crisis, NHS and social care. But also things that I know that are big issues for Torbay is the lack of social rented housing. We've only got half the amount of social rented housing compared to the national average. And for me, it's also championing the area I know and love. It is such a lovely place, but we know that we've got some wicked issues as well to sort out. But championing that on the national stage is really important. And I don't want my disability to define myself, David Bunkett didn't allow that to happen for himself. But I'm very happy to add my weight to campaigns where there are things impacting on people with disabilities, like floating bus stops.
We've spoken with David Blunkett many times over the years now, and I know from chatting with him, he talked about, as you say, you know, the disability or the sensory impairment, however you want to describe sight loss. That wasn't something he was going to let define him, but for him, it was studying, it was prep for speeches, it was being able to almost train himself to be a great orator as well. Is that something you see yourself doing? Is that sort of extra work you feel that you have to put in now to stand out?
It is. I can't really use notes. So I always think of, when I make a speech, I think of three key layers to the speech. And then I think of three things to raise within each of those three layers. So it's easy to remember what you're saying and how you're doing it. And interestingly enough, sadly, my father died about 18 months ago. And my brother and I shared the eulogy to him. And I shared with the vicar how I memorised how the speeches were made. And he said, well, actually, when you go to the school of vicars, that's how they tell you to pull together a sermon. It's exactly like that. So it was nice to know that the way that I'd imagined to do this is actually the way that they do it themselves.
From the dispatch box then to the pulpit, it kind of works in all areas. An incredibly busy workload then, being an MP now. How do you kind of take time out? How do you unwind from that?
I think stroking the dog is a very good way of lowering my blood pressure. There's a good 5 minutes and it's usually calmed down by then. But I do enjoy sea kayaking. There's no point in living in a lovely place like Tor Bay and not actually taking advantage of that. So I enjoy sea swimming once you've checked that it's all okay on the surface against sewage app. But equally, sea kayaking, because I would be fearful if I was sailing, because if you hit a rock in a sailing boat, it's a bit of an issue. Whereas if you misjudge things in a kayak, the worst that normally can happen is you just get stuck on a rock and you wait for the next wave to wash you off. And my wife equally enjoys that, even though she's got more profound vision loss than myself. In somewhere like Tor Bay, big cliffy thing over there, you head one way, you know it's Stinmouth, and the other way it's Hope's Nose. It's quite easy to navigate, even with quite limited vision.
Well, Steve, you know you're incredibly busy at the moment. We appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. Good luck in the job, and good luck to Jenny as well. And thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you.